my little lights. She barefoot.
This is an ode to every mother and every mother figure. The one who prays and stays and struggles with us. The one who fights and forgives and faces the storms with uncompromising calm. This is an ode to mom. The one who carries us in her womb, in her hands, in her heart. In her, we see the definition of grace. She keeps us safe, keeps us fed, keeps us in school, in church, in check, in spite. She digs deep into the well of your soul and finds a love that overflows, overrides, overwhelms, and it always does. She gives the love of a thousand selfless deeds every day. She makes plates, makes clothes, makes beds, makes plans, makes time, makes do with what she has. And she teaches us that what we have is enough. She gives the love of a thousand victories in the face of loss and suffering. She wins every time because she always serves first. She knows her worth, her covering, her comforting. Her faith believes that her will be is greater than her was. She gives the love of a thousand sacrifices in the shape of our expectations, and she makes it look so easy we can hardly see the half of what she gives, more than she takes. She prays, she sings, she tucks us in, and we never see her sleep, but she dreams the dreams. And plants the seeds, and bears the food, bears the burdens, bears all the things that we alone can't bear. She wears her strength and dignity like they will never go out of style. And she smiles at the future, and the future smiles back because it knows the good things she'll bring when she shows up. And she always does. She brings peace and virtue with her everywhere she goes. Courage in tow, she shows us that a fearless woman is a woman who fears the Lord. She stands assured, stands up straight, stands on his promises, his providence. Her hands work with willingness as she does the most good. And she always does. She is fierce and unflinching. Unrelenting, undivided understanding, undemanding. She has grace to manage her house into a household where she holds all the pieces together and never breaks under the pressure. She is underestimated, underpaid, and understated. When she faces the temptation to give up, she simply finds a way to give more. And she always does. And all this comes before her children are even up for the day. And when they rise, they'll say, blessed is this woman who gives so much and says so much more than a thousand words with a single touch. And she always does. She gives the love of a thousand generations of mothers before her. Mothers who bore her and raised her and gave her the stories we will never read in history books. But when history looks back, it will see that she
is it because was it's the one away
by herself. Because many women have done excellently, but she has surpassed them all. And she always does.
But it's definitely sharp.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh man, I tell you, it honors me to be here before you to share on this Mother's Day. You know, doing prayer, she spoke about being thankful for your mother, because some of us mothers have gone on to rest with God. You know,
yes, it is.
I lost my mom in 2012, and that was a tough time. You know,
it is.
But I thank God. I thank God that she had an opportunity to see that the prayers that she prayed for over me and my brothers and sisters were answered by God. She had the opportunity to see us in a different light. doing things different than we were when she was praying for us to get us out of the mess that we were in. You know, and it's such an honor, and those of you here, those of you out there, who, as she said today during prayer, that honor your mother. Honor your mother. Honor God by being the best version of you you can be. Amen?
Amen.
Today, I'm going to talk to you about the authority of motherhood. I stand before you today, not of myself, but as an embodiment of the mother who raised me as a child of God. From young, I can remember my mother pulling out the children's Bible and reading scriptures to us. And most of the time, it was because she needed to give us some correction and direction, you know. And I didn't realize at the time how important it was. You know, and how she was using the authority of God's word to give us instruction, to give us a foundation that we would need in this life that we was to live. You know, and I say a lot, growing up, I knew God, but I didn't know him. You know, I knew who I could call on when trouble showed up. I knew I could pray and he would answer my prayers, but I didn't know him. And there's a difference with the knowing him, you know, and I thank God for my mom laying that foundation because it gave me an opportunity to get to know him even the more, you know, because see, when like any relationship, it always starts out just knowing, you know, but the more time you spend with them, the more you get to know them. You know, but she opened the door for me to get to know who God is and who he can be for me and who God has called me to be. And that's why it's important for mothers, for you to set the foundation for your children so they can get to know God for themselves. Amen? So, I would like all the mothers in the house to please stand because I want to give you recognition. I want to honor you because, see, she said it earlier today that Mother's Day is just not a day. Being a mother don't stop. It's a 365 day, just like being a father, you know, for those who are part of their children's life. It don't stop. It's an everyday thing. And I want to take this time to honor you because, see, too often we fail to recognize that authority and that work that you have to do. Like the young lady said, you are underpaid. You are well underpaid. You know, and we want to give you your flowers now while you're here. We want to recognize you. And I pray that your children are doing the same thing. You know, because I know you don't ask for much. All you want to do is see us be successful. See us be the best version of ourselves that we can be. That's how we honor you. So I just want to honor you here today, and I say we love you, we honor you, and we praise you, mothers, here today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, being a mother, it never stops. From the day a child is born to the day we leave this earth, the mothers are the guardians of the future generation. They are instrumental in instilling the principles of faith in their children and family and guiding their household, thus being the pillars of the body of Christ. Amen? Proverbs, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. We're going to read verse 25 to 29. They say, talk about a woman of influence. And it says here, it says, strength and dignity are your clothing. And I'm coming out of the Amplified. And her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom. And the teachings of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household and does not eat bread of idleness. She always busy. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, prosperous, and to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly and well with the strength of character and the steadfast, in goodness, but you excel them all. Amen? As I read this scripture, I look around and I reflect on my mother, my wife, and the many mother figures who have poured into me. I'm filled with a thankfulness because I know what my mother went through raising six of us. She raised six of us. Not counting all those she welcomed into our home and loved them as her own. You know, and I never really paid attention to how much of work that she had to deal with until I watched my wife. You know, because as young men, you don't pay attention to some of those things. You know, but as an adult, being married with a wife, and I watched my wife with our son and watch the pain sometimes when she worried about him. And I just think about the pain, because my son ain't doing nothing compared to what I was doing and me and my brothers were doing when we were out there. So I watched the pain on my wife and the concern and worry about her son, our son, and what he's going through and praying that he does what he needs to do. And I think about that burden that was on my mother over her three boys who were out there in the world, lost, you know, and it pains me because I didn't realize then how much of a burden I was placing on her. You know, and sometimes we don't even think about how our decisions are affecting the ones that we love. You know, and a mother's love is a godly love. You know, God positioned mothers for a purpose, you know, because us men, sometimes we be like, look, they can handle it. They can deal. You know, but a mother's love is different. There's a nurturing. There's a comforting. You know, and I can reflect even growing up. I grew up without my father in my life, but we always had mom and you had big mama. You know, you had those nurturers in the household around you who helped guide and direct you and gave you a compass, a moral compass, and showed you what love is. And I think this is something that's missing right now for this generation.
Amen.
This generation is missing those nurturers. Amen. You know, and growing up, I'm a 70s baby, and growing up, we had that. It was took a village to raise a child. It wasn't nothing that you was going to do in your neighborhood that your mother wasn't going to find out about. You had to leave the neighborhood. You know, but they don't have that now. You know, even the parents have lost the authority to rule in their own household. And then the world want to blame the parents. You know, and so it's important the role that the mothers play, you know, and the fathers and the men and the women that's in these children's lives. That's why I thank God for Harvest, because we got an opportunity to pour into the kids while they're young, to give them something that we don't know what they're getting at home or what they have to face, you know. But we have an opportunity to nurture them and give them the agape love that God has called them to have. You know, so I thank God for the Harvest family and what we do here at Harvest. You know, and as I said, as I read the scripture, I thought about my mom and watching my wife, you know, and the pain. And I have a deep and better understanding and appreciation of the love for a mother and her children. See, the love of a mother reflects the love of God for his children. From the day in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, if we could turn to that. Here it says, God says to Eve, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the pain of childbirth. In the pain you will give birth to children, yet your desire and longing will be for your husband, and he will rule with authority over you and be responsible for you. And reading that scripture, I thought about the pain of giving birth, and I could imagine that same pain of watching your children go through the trials and tribulations of life. You know, but in spite of that, you still push. You still push, you still press, because you know in the end, if you do your part, he's going to come out. He's going to come out better on the other side. And there's no greater feeling when you hear your baby cry. You know, so through all the pain, after they come out and you hear that first cry, there's a great relief. And that's the same pain when you see your children doing the right thing and walking the right path. There's a great relief. You ain't got to worry no more. You know they're covered. You know they're walking right. Maybe everything ain't all right, but they're walking better. So there's a peace that you have. You know, and that's what I thought about. You know, and I believe that's what God was dealing with Eve. See, and mothers are still going through that same type of pain. That birthing pain. As they watch your children go through those trials and tribulations of life, you know, until they grab hold of the relationship with God. You know, and that's why it's so important for us to set that foundation for them. You know, and that's why I said, I thank God my mom, before she left here, she had an opportunity to see my life begin to change.
Amen.
You know, she never got a chance to see me doing what I'm doing now, but I know she's watching.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's so, so important. See, as I write this, I'm full of emotions because I made it. Not because of me, but because my mother's love, prayers, and sacrifice and guidance. I'm not just talking about me. We all have made it due to that same type of love. See, was it all perfect? No. No, it wasn't all perfect. I know I did my part. She had her trials and tribulations herself. You know, see, sometimes we make judgments over people because of where they at, but we don't know the story. You know, I thank God I had an opportunity to share with my mom, and I got, see, sometimes we don't know why people do some of the things they do and why they are the way they are until you hear the story. And that's why testimonies are so important. You know, because see, we make judgments on people based off of what we think, not what we know. You know, and that's where the relationships are important, you know, and I thank God I had an opportunity to hear my mother's story, you know, before she left this earth, and it gave me a greater understanding and a respect, because she pressed through some things that I couldn't even think of. You know, I couldn't even imagine the pain and the suffering that she had in her heart for the trials and the tribulations that she had to go through. And then to add that, what we put her through. You know, but God, you know, that saving grace that kept her, that when she left this earth peacefully. You know, and that's so important. They told my mom she had 6 months to live in 2010. 2010, they said, you got 6 months to live. My mom passed in 2012. She trusted God, and she had an opportunity to go around and make amends to clear her conscience before she left this earth with all her families and people she had relationship with. And that's why it's so important that we have forgiveness in our heart so God can hear our prayers. Family, throughout the Bible, we have depictions of faithful mothers who trusted the Lord and in turn were blessed. And we see others blessed with Lord's steadfastness, even when their faith falters. Our faith falters sometimes. Ask me how I know. That was me. That was me. And there were some times where I questioned, like, Lord, what's going on? Why? You know, because, see, this world, the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do any means necessary to stop you fulfilling your purpose. And if I can stop the mother and the father of the household, I knock off a generation. So the enemy is after the heads of the household. So it's our job as children of God to help protect, to cover our family. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17, verse 15-17. And this is one lady, one mother. And it says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, my princess, but her name will be Sarah, princess. I will bless her, and indeed, I will also give you a son by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? See, Sarah was elderly when the Lord spoke to Abraham. So old, in fact, that she laughed at the prospect that she, because she struggled with infertility for years and had given up on having a child. However, God fulfilled his promise and blessed them with the son Isaac, whose name means laughter. See, I don't know who may have, the mothers out there who struggle with infertility, you know, but with God, anything is possible. And that's the part where we got to trust God. We got to trust God beyond our own understanding. So Sarah was one of those mothers who struggled in that area, and she questioned God. She questioned God, saying, I'm 90 years old. I'm going to have a baby. I've been trying for years. But she trusted God's promise. And that's what we got to stand on. There's many mothers out there right now who struggle with infertility and got children now. And God bless you for believing in God.
Yes.
See, I don't know who out there have that testimony, but God, with God, all things are possible. We are seeds of Abraham. So turn with me now to Exodus. Here's another one. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you'll see a mother will do all she can to save her children. Amen? All she can to save her child. Even if it means giving him up. See, God's purpose, God has a purpose for our children. We just have to do our part. It says, the woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was especially beautiful and healthy, she hid him for 3 months to protect him from the Egyptians. When she could no longer hide him, she got him a basket, a chest made of poppies, poppies reeds, and covered it with tar and a pitch, making it waterproof. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds at the bank of the Nile. And his sister, Miriam, stood some distance away to find out what would happen to him. Now the daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, and she, together with her maiden, walked along the riverbank and saw the basket among the reeds, and sent her maid to get it. And she brought it to her, and when she opened it, she saw a child. And behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him and said, this one is of Hebrew, one of the Hebrew children. Then her sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a wet nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And she took pity on him and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. And then the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, because I drew him from the water. So this very child, the mother gave up to protect him. She was called to nurse him.
Amen.
Without fear. So, see, sometimes we gotta give something up.
Right.
See,
you're right.
And there's some parents out here, some mothers, who gave their child up so they for the betterment of the child.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember my cousin, my grandmother raised him. And honestly, I was jealous because he was in a position I wasn't in. But I didn't realize he had a need that I didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we don't understand why some things are happening. And for a reason, they happen. And I thank God my grandmother was in his life. So all of you grandmothers who have taken on the responsibility of nurturing your grandchildren, God has placed you there in that position for a reason. You know, and I can look at my cousin now and say he's better for it. I didn't miss nothing. And thank God he didn't miss nothing because she was there in covering for him. So all you grandmothers, all you godmothers, all you ones who have taken up the position of being a helpmate to help your daughters or your grandchildren out, we salute you. See, my cousin is who he is today in part for the care and love my nanny gave him, my grandmother. Let's turn to another woman of the Bible, Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, so Hannah got up after eating and drinking in the shallow. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his seat beside the doorpost of the temple, the tabernacle of the Lord. Hannah was greatly distressed. And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She made a vow, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions, the suffering of your maidservant, and remember, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. A razor shall never touch his head. Now it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, mind, only her lips were moving, and her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Get rid of your wine. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman with a despairing spirit. I have not been drinking wine or any intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your maidservant as wicked or worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of a great concern and bitter provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. Hannah said, let your maidservant find grace and favor in your sight. So the woman went on her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. See, sometimes we don't know what somebody's going through. We don't know the pain and the anguish that someone may be feeling because they can't give birth. You know, and this woman, she prayed and sought God's face. Prayer works, family.
I know
prayer
that's
works.
Right.
We gotta lay our head down and seek God's face in prayer and provocation, seeking him for what we asking him for. Because as you see, Hannah was a woman who desired a child and for her husband. But it did not happen, but she prayed, sought God, and conceived a child and honored God with him. And as we know, Samuel became a great prophet. God knows your heart, and he answers prayers according to his will. Now we're going to turn to a grandmother and a mother. See, as I said earlier, it takes a village to raise a child, you know, and this is something that's missing so much in our communities. And it's up to us, the children of God who have relationship with God, who know God, That we got to be that embodiment. You know, we can't be judgmental. You know, we got to trust God because, see, some of these parents right now, they only know what they know. And so it's going to be up to us who know a little bit more, know better, to help them, to help guide them and direct them and show them something different. Not judgmentally, but just be a figure in their life to show them different and be willing to help out. You know, and I know some grandmothers here who are doing that, not just to their own family, but extending themselves out even further. And that's so important. That's how we're going to be change makers in the body of Christ. Here it says, the grandmother and mother of Timothy trained him in the word of God. Thanks to their spiritual guidance, Timothy grew strong in his faith and became a prominent leader in the early church, Paul states. This is a letter in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. And it says, I thank God, whom I worship and serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, and as I recall your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I remember your sincere and unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ with confidence and trust in his power, wisdom, and goodness and faith, which first lived in the hearts of your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice. And I am confident that it is in you as well. That is why I remind you to fan into the flame of gracious, the gracious gifts of God, that inner fire, the special endowment which is in you through the laying of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound judgment and personal discipline. The ability that results in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Family, I say this because, just as I said, my mother was praying for me when I wasn't praying for myself. As I said earlier, as a young man, she was pulling out the children's Bible and giving us scripture to read to show us a different way of doing things and how we should do it. And because of that foundation that she gave me, I learned to have a relationship and open myself up into the relationship. Romeo, I know, seeing you there, I know your mother spoke those words over you and your brothers. And that's why you're here now, because you know who to turn to. But it's just a process. You know, that same way he said, the unqualified faith, it has to be built up. It's a process. It's a process because you got to know them for yourself. The same way I had to know them for myself. But because our mothers gave us that foundation, they gave us something to stand on, we got something to build on. But it's up to us personally. And that's why I thank the grandmothers, the mothers who here, who continue to pour out themselves into their children and pray for them in spite of. Because prayers will be answered. We see it over and over and over again in the scriptures. I'm here right now because of the prayers that was covering me in my life when I wasn't praying for myself. Because I know I was lost. And it's only through the grace of my mother and the people that God placed in my life, and I open myself willingly to receive it and do things differently. But because of that foundation in the first place, I had something to grab hold of. And see, unfortunately, nowadays, these kids don't have that foundation. Yeah. This church should be full. Yeah. Right. This church should be full. It should be no room. Yeah. See, but God is purposeful in everything. Yeah. You know, and that's why he only used 12 in the beginning. So it don't take much. We just got to do our part. You know, so some of them may never come into the church, but if they see you as a representation of who God is, that can change their lives. And that's what it's about. We got to be the change makers in their lives. We got to give them something to desire for, to want to be here, because they know it's something more. But they got to see it in us first. You know, I seen it in my mother and my grandma, godmother, but I didn't understand it. Because in a sense, some of the testimonies wasn't shared until later on, until we're adults. But some, look, our kids are experiencing things that they never had to experience before. So we gotta speak truth to them. And we gotta be examples before them so they can walk a godly path. We can't be wavering when things get rough. We got to stand on the foundation that God has set before us. Because if they see us wavering, they're going to say, what I'm going to go follow you for? I can get that in the world. We got to be set apart. And that's what we see with these women of the Bible, these mothers that we're talking about, you here, are examples to give the kids the foundation that they need to stand on. It takes a village to raise a child. I thank God again for the mothers he has placed in my life, because I am who I am today in part for what they poured into me. And the same is true for all of you. More than ever, we need to be in part wisdom for the future generations. And I'm going to close with this last woman. This last woman who many of us know, who's had an impact that continues to live on to this day. This last woman who we'll talk about, many of us already know, because she's the most well-known woman in the Bible. Mary was unique because she was about to get married. An angel of God, Gabriel, informed her that she would conceive the Son of God through the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 37. It says, "Now in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, 'Greetings, favored one.'" Talking about you, baby. God, baby. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly perplexed at what he said, and kept carefully considering what kind of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen carefully. You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin and have no intimacy with any man?" Then the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a cloud. For that reason, the holy, pure, sinless child shall be called the Son of God. And listen, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For with the Lord, nothing is or ever shall be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord.
What?
May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. Amen? See, we all know Mary's story. The pain of watching someone you've given birth to, having to go through the trials of this life with the desire to do nothing more than to take his place. However, she knew that he had his own cross to bear. And for all mothers today who are praying, loving, caring, sacrificing, and nurturing their children, we salute you. And see, too often we want to take the pain and we want to take the place of our children. We want, you know, and unfortunately, our children have became where they think they're entitled. You know, because see, what we want to do is protect them. We don't want them to have to go through the things that we had to go through. And that's what Mary did. She didn't want Jesus to go through that, even though she was told that he was born for this here. The agony of watching him go through that, just like many of us parents here, watching our children go through the trials and the tribulations. And what we have to do is stand back and allow God's will to be done. Pray. Continue to pray. Continue to speak into their lives. Continue to be that director, that guider in their life. But the bottom line is they got to make the choice. They have to make the choice. Because if we try to take up their cross, we're getting in the way of God. See, if Mary would have tried to jump in, she would have gotten in the way of what God was doing. And too often we do that in our lives of our children because we don't want to see them go through suffering and pain. But there are some things we have to go through in order to fulfill God's purpose in our lives. I'm going to close with this scripture that Mary shared. And it comes in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies and exalts the Lord, for he has looked with loving care on the humble state of his maidservants. For behold, from now on, all generations will count me blessed and happy and favored by God. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. To be worshipped in his purity, majesty, and glory. And his mercy is upon generations after generations towards those who stand in great awe of God and fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his powerful arm. He has scattered those who were proud and thought of their hearts. He has brought rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, just as he has promised to our father, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." To the mothers, I say to you today, just as Mary is speaking, the generations that you're bringing up, the lives that you're pouring in, we are all seeds of Abraham. The key is the foundation is the fear of God and to be in awe of God. And by you setting that foundation for them, they can live and walk in what God has called them to. And we thank you. We honor you today because just as Mary and all the other women of the scriptures that we talked about here today, you, You are the living testament of the next generations that's coming forth. And you are setting a foundation for the future. So today we salute you, we honor you, and we praise you. For God has purposed you for what you are doing here today. Amen?
Amen.
God bless. I pray that this word has blessed you. For the mothers, I got some roses here that we want to give to all the mothers. So if the mothers will stand, we're gonna give you some roses. For those out there in TV land, we want to tell you that if you want to sow a seed to harvest, please sow a seed. As we get ready to close, we want to honor the house of the Lord. As we say, the word is free. It doesn't cost a thing. But ministry does cost. So if God has placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. So, and with that, I just want to say God bless you. We love you. And I just want to pray before we close out. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity to share the good news, Father God. We thank you for all the mothers here today, Father God. We pray that you give them a peace in their heart, Father God, to remind them that the work that they do, that they continue to do and will do, Father God, is not in vain, Father God, that you hear their prayers, you know the works, Father God, and you know the help that they need, Father God, and you're there for them. And we ask that you continue to just watch over them, guide them as they continue to guide their household, watch with their husbands and their children, Father God. And we honor you and praise you that your will be done in our lives, Father God. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Let the house say amen. 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 God bless you, family. Ladies, please, I'm going to come around and we're going to share these roses with you. We can come around and do offering. If you need an offering envelope here in the house, we are talking.